It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, he's not lying. He's not lying. The voice of God there. We are living that dream and taking you with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday, and it is going to be a steamy weekend here in Chittenden County. In the Northeast, which I love. I love the summertime. I can't get enough of it. I'm still not over how long this winter was, so I'm all in for this hot weather. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. You are listening to 101.3 The Game. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. My good friend and award-winning sports writer for the Burlington Free Press, Austin Danforth, is out today. He is on location. Actually, the truth be told, he's playing a little golf with his father at a really cool tournament in the southern part of Vermont, so we wish them luck this weekend. So it's me and your guy, Aaron Wells, driving this ship. Good to see you this morning, kiddo.
Good to see you, too.
Good job. Decent job on the update. Got a little, verklempt there, missed a couple words.
I was trying to do something else at the same time, which that is a mistake I make frequently, and I feel like I should have figured it out by now that I have to focus on the sports update during the sports update, but I catch myself fiddling with things.
It's hard not to, though, right? I do the same thing. I mean, there's all these papers in front of us, and we have all these ideas that pop up, and we're trying to get to these different points, but I do the same thing. So, I mean, I'm right with you, kiddo, so I stand right by you. But anyway, if you want to talk to us today, like I said earlier, 802-655-6672 is the number to call, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. We just mentioned in the sports update, news came down that the America East Conference is joining conferences like the Ivy League and conferences like the Patriot League, and is canceling, I think the word they use is postponing fall sports. I was going to get into this today. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit later on. It's a crazy time we're living in, people are making some decisions here that they feel is best for everybody's health and safety. We just kind of, just got to play it out and see where it goes. I think in shows down the road, we'll break down this a little bit more. But obviously tough news for anybody that's a fall sports fan, especially college-wise. We know what we have here in Vermont at University of Vermont. The all of those programs are top shelf. And you know how hard those kids work and the coaches work to recruit their players. But, the good news for them is that they continue to work out, they continue to practice and train, and hopefully they'll have their opportunity in the spring. And we hope that comes for them. Tough news yesterday for the America East, Aaron. Tough news yesterday.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning for sports fans to think about the fact that this is sort of the trend. As things sort of draw out, people in high places in the sports world keep having to take these steps in order to, keep people safe.
Yeah, and I understand all that stuff, and I get all that stuff, and we want people safe and we want people healthy. Interesting article though, and I'm going to bring it up on OutKick. If you're not familiar with OutKick, it's a fairly new sports social media site that was created by Jason Whitlock, who I think was supposed to be on the show this week here, right? Because something happened with that. I saw on Twitter that were the guys supposed to have Jason Whitlock on this week?
It might have been Jason. I know there was a prominent guest that they were supposed to get that they didn't.
And so, yeah, but I think it was like they taped it and something happened technically there. But Jason Whitlock, who is a nationally known sports personality, and Clay Travis, who you can hear in the mornings here on 101.3 The Game. But on their website, they had a very interesting article about this that came out. I recommend you looking into it. We'll break it down in another show. I don't have it because we have so much to talk about here today, but I'd recommend you looking it up because there's a lot of good news out there as well. I think right now we are bombarded with bad news, and every day there's something, there's just new stuff that comes out. But there's some good stats out there. There are plenty of, of things that have been done, testing that has been done. You know, there's been work done to see, you know, what ages this COVID-19 really affects. And I think when you see the numbers for youth, I think you're going to feel really good about that. And that's an exciting thing. So check those things out, and we'll get into that some other time. But tough news for the UVM Catamounts and everybody else in the America East going forward. But so this weekend's a big weekend for me. And I have to ask you, Aaron, like, I'm a little bit stressed out about it. So I, for the first time in my life since maybe I was like, I don't know, like 19 or 20 when I was running day camps for after school programs in the Rutland area, I'm going camping tonight. Okay, so I haven't camped in like, and I mean, when I say camping, I mean like I think I'm going to be in a tent. I'm going to be off the grid type of thing. I actually had to go buy a sleeping bag for the first time in my life. So I'm a little anxious. I haven't even packed yet. I'm going to be leaving after the show's over. I'm going to run home and pack a bag. It's only overnight. I'm only going to do this for one night.
Yep.
But it's some old friend, college friends of mine. They get together every year and do this. And they every year they're like, Jeff, you got to come. And I always use the excuse that I have the radio show. So I got the radio show. I can't travel all the way down or do it. It's just not because they start on Friday and they stay till Sunday. I'm like, it's just going to be too difficult for me. But this year I'm going to go down. Actually, most of the guys that they're down, they don't even know I'm coming. One of my friends said, you just got to show up. It'll be funny if you show up. So I'm going to do that, but I don't even know what to bring. Like, I really don't know. I mean, I can't bring a fan because you can't plug it in anywhere.
Right.
You know, I've got to bring food down with it because I'm going to be cooking the food on the open fire. You know, like I don't even know what to bring. Like, I don't even know what to pack. I mean, we're so much in the woods that I think the toilet is like some kind of like peat moss toilet. They got, you know, you pour sand over the stuff when you're done. Like, so this is like in the sticks. No service with the phone. I'm anxious about this, Aaron. I'm really anxious.
Yeah. I'd bring a lot of water.
Okay, that's good advice.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Okay, so hot dogs.
Nothing better than hot dogs in the afternoon when you're camping.
Okay.
Are you a big coffee drinker?
I'm not really, but I have a feeling that when I get up in the morning, I'm going to be leaving quickly, so I can probably drive down the road and find a cup of coffee. So this is more like just what I need to bring with. What are the essentials? Like, what do I need to, you know, should I probably need to bring some bug spray, I'm guessing. You know, make sure you bring that. You know, is there anything I can bring to keep snakes away from anything? Because if I'm in the woods with snakes, I'm a little anxious about that.
Oh, man. To keep
nothing you can
away.
Do about that, probably, right?
I don't know of anything. I mean, right. I'm guessing
you
probably
news.
Find like sprays or stuff that you put
probably,
around.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, I can't. See, that's the thing. I can't be dealing with. I don't want to deal with the snakes. Like, if I see a snake, it's going to be a real hard thing for me. So, for example, if I get up there and I see a snake snithering around, it could be 100 yards from where I'm sleeping, and I'm going to be sleeping on the ground. That might put me in my car for the evening. That might happen. And it's supposed to be like 2,000 degrees today. So my guess is it's going to be hot and humid. But I get to see some old buddies, so I'm a little anxious, though. But bringing down the food piece, probably should bring some like easy things to eat, right? You just got to bring the easy stuff.
Stuff that you can cook over a fire pretty quickly. You don't have to worry too much about.
Okay, perfect.
Hot dogs, burgers, steaks,
Easy stuff like that. All right. Well, you've been no help. I just want to let you know that. Okay. So far, I have nothing in my bag but a hot dog and a towel and a
and water.
Bag. And water. I'll put some water in there.
I would bring a light too, so you're not using your flashlight at
exactly,
night.
Exactly. That's another thing I don't like. I don't like the dark. I don't want to be in the dark in the woods. Nothing good ever happens out there. I'm just saying. Have you ever watched some of these shows? Walking around, you don't know what the hell's going on out there.
It's kind of stunning that we invented houses and we're still sleeping outside.
Well, people love it. And I don't know how anybody loves it. I camping to me is just like, you know, camping to me, the idea is cool until you're actually in the middle of it, I think. Then you wake up the next morning, you're like, I just want to shower. I want to get this dirt off me. Like, why do I smell like, you know, like, it is just, and then I've got to drive home smelling like this on the way home because there's no place to shower up there.
Right.
And I told you about the bathroom. If you think I'm going to the bathroom there, you're out of your mind. I mean, there's absolutely no way I'm using a peat moss toilet. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I think camping really goes from, oh man, I'm going to be one with nature to, wow, this is super inconvenient and unpleasant.
Steve just said he'd bring some Pop-Tarts. That's a great idea.
So
that would be delicious too. So maybe I could. That's what I'll do. I'll bring some Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, quick breakfast.
That's something else I haven't had in like 20-something years. There's a Pop-Tart. Now they've got all these different flavors of Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah. Like a million of them.
Yeah. It used to be, back in my day, the frosted strawberry was it. But now you got every flavor.
And they're doing bite-sized Pop-Tarts in a bag too. You can buy bags.
You got to be kidding. What are they going to think of next?
But they're delicious. They're really good. If you're looking for a snack and you're in the mood for Pop-Tarts, grab yourself a couple bags of those. Go to town.
Listen, at my age, I can't be eating a lot of Pop-Tarts, okay? I'm trying to get myself in, you know, at least in some type of shape. You know what I mean? So I can't be eating Pop. You guys are telling me to bring a bag of Pop-Tarts, hot dogs. I mean, what anything else terrible I can bring for my? Not only is it going to be uncomfortable for me to sleep, I'm going to feel like garbage when I get eating all this stuff.
We could bring chicken thighs, throw those on the grill.
I'm going to bring some raw chicken. This is not. I'm just trying to make sure you understand. This is not like we're having this beautiful, like it's like a gas grill somewhere. We're talking like they throw a grate over.
You can cook
three
chicken
rocks.
Over the fire. Yeah, I've done
I'm
it.
Not, I'm, see, that's what I'm, I, that you, you're way more beyond me. Maybe I'll bring cooked chicken with me. That way I just warm it up on the fire.
That's
then I
true.
Can eat it. I could just do that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll do. Okay. Or maybe some turkey. I do like a good turkey burger.
Oh, yeah.
There are some good everybody loves you know, the red meat. I love burgers. But if you find a good turkey burger that's seasoned right,
yeah,
nothing beats that. Am I really embarrassing myself right now? I mean, is my man card being turned in?
It is.
Everyone listening to the show must be thinking, what kind of dude is this?
It's a dangerous admission in this state to say that you don't like camping or that
you
don't do it often.
It's great. I don't. I mean, I and the other thing is ticks. Like, I don't want to get near any ticks either. So maybe I should. I'm embarrassed. This is.
You're
I gotta stop
close yourself
about
off
this.
In the tent the entire time.
Hey.
Hide from the snakes and ticks.
Hey, guys, the Green City Garage poll question coming at you really soon. Here, go to 101.3 The Game at Twitter. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, number 5 in South Burlington. You know that's where you got to go to take care of your car. Phone number 802-651-9299. Just talked to the owner, Chris Wallace, this morning. He said, hey, remind people, it's going to be hot. We can fix your AC. So if your car is running a little bit low on the AC situation or you don't have air conditioning, call Chris Wallace right now at Green City Garage, 49B Commerce Ave, number 5 in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. Go to 101.3 The Game at Twitter, like I mentioned, and answer this question. Which of these quarterbacks has the most to prove this year, given the unique and unusual circumstances each finds himself in right now? I forgot this idea and this question. I can't take credit from Mike Greenberg, who posted it earlier this week. So the nominees are Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, or Dak Prescott. And I think the easy one is Dak Prescott. I think to me Dak Prescott has the most to prove. I think Cam Newton is coming in with. And we can break all that. This is just my opinion. Number one, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I don't think he has anything else to prove. I think he is the greatest quarterback ever to live. I don't look at him as saying he's got to go to Tampa Bay and prove who he is.
Yeah, knowing the way he operates, he may have it in his mind that he's got things to prove. But I think the average fan looks at his situation and goes, that guy, his reputation is set forever.
Exactly. Cam Newton, he walks into an organization. Obviously, he's filling big shoes with Brady, and you feel that, and you kind of feel that and sense that. But at the same time, he's coming in with an incentive-laden contract. He's coming in with low expectation. I think the longer we talk about it, I think fans are excited about having a Cam Newton on their team if you're a Patriot fan. But I don't think I think the ceiling's very high for Cam Newton, and if it doesn't work out, it's for low impact in terms of what the monetary is, so that the pressure there for him isn't as big.
Right.
And then when you get to Aaron Rodgers, we know the Green Bay, you know, drafted a quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers is going to have a big year regardless. I don't think that's the case. But Dak Prescott wants to be known and wants to be paid like one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. And take nothing away from him. He's a solid quarterback, but he's just not. But he is going to have to prove himself now, because if he wants the big contract, and Dallas obviously isn't going to get it for him, he's got a big, he has to have a big year.
Right. And his unique situation, as opposed to the rest of these guys, is that he's coming off his rookie deal. All the rest of these guys have been around a while. I mean,
yeah.
Cam Newton is the youngest of the other three, and he's been in the league for 9 years now. So Dak Prescott's in a different situation where he's kind of hitting that turning point where you're coming off your rookie deal, you're expecting a payday, they tagged him instead, he wants the big deal, he knows he's got to prove himself. He probably feels like he already has to a certain degree.
Well, and let's face it, Dak Prescott has been the golden child, right? I mean, he was basically anointed the next big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he played behind the best offensive line in football for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
He has every weapon. You're playing with arguably the best running back in the league, and when he's healthy, and Zeke Elliott. You know, so you have weapons around you, and you play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So Dak Prescott does not want to leave Dallas. I promise you that.
Oh,
I mean, it's like
not.
It's like being a New York Yankee. Whether you love him or hate him, if you potentially can be a star with the Yankees, you don't want to leave. A perfect example is Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano wanted the big money from the Yankees. The Yankees didn't give it to him. He goes to Seattle, has MVP-type numbers in Seattle for a couple years, and doesn't even get recognized as an MVP candidate.
Yep.
If he had half of those numbers in New York, he would have won the MVP.
Right.
That's the same thing you have with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's what Dak Prescott wants. And so that's where I think the pressure, Aaron, falls on Dak Prescott. Because
right.
I think this kid is trying to prove himself that he's the next quarterback. You know, Tony Romo, say what you want about him. I think Tony Romo was a franchise quarterback. I don't think Dak Prescott is. I don't think Dak Prescott's the best quarterback. I don't think Dak Prescott is the second best quarterback in the NFC East. That's where I feel Dak Prescott is. Solid quarterback, quality, but is he your franchise kind of quarterback? You're going to pay that. You're going to pay near Pat Mahomes type numbers to him. I don't think that's happening.
Right, and like you said, he's got all the pressure because not only is he on a team like the Cowboys that has all of that spotlight and reputation around it, he's also got all the weapons. Jerry Jones can sit there and say, I've given you everything you should need. We should be winning things. And there's really no excuse at this point. So, well,
in the Cam's defense, you know, I mean, Tony Romo didn't win anything either. You know what I mean? I mean, the Cowboys haven't won anything since, you know, I mean, I think I was your age last time the Cowboys won anything. Actually, I was much younger than you last time the Cowboys won anything. So that's, you know. But anyway, hey, let's go. So go to Twitter right now and let us know what you think. Chris on the Town Fair Tire text line just said, wow, you're soft to me. Chris, you know, you could be a little nicer. You know what I mean? I understand that I get it. There are things that I don't like. And I mean, I don't know. I blame my father. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to blame my dad for this one. Okay? I mean, I love to play golf. I love to be out in the sports world. I love doing stuff like that. But I'm telling you right now, sleeping in the dirt, being near, you know, potential snake issues, it's just not my thing. Cooking on an open fire, it's just not it. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe I am too soft. But you have to announce it to everybody. We'll be right back.
Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Austin is out today. So filling in, not really filling in. I mean, Aaron's always a part of this show.
I'm just blabbing my mouth more.
But he's just talking a lot more today. Is our guy Aaron Wells filling in. Hey, listen, the Patriots are big talk. And around these parts, Cam Newton's even bigger talk. So I thought to myself a few days ago, who better to talk to about the upcoming quarterback situation going on here in New England than our good friend and Patriot insider, who's probably joining us now, right now, in the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Sitting by the pool, maybe a virgin margarita in hand, or a bowl of shredded wheat, but our good friend Tom King. Good morning, my man.
I got a bowl of granola.
That a boy.
And I've got two corn toasty muffins.
See, perfect. Perfect.
And morning. I am outside by the pool.
See, so when I grew
but
up...
But I'm going to enjoy my Saturday night by the pool. While you, on the other hand, are going to have to be struggling with Smokey the Bear and all the other varmints from the woods.
I was going to ask for some advice, but I have a feeling that you kind of do the same types of things I like to do, which is, I don't know if eating granola is part of my list, but eating some type of food by a pool is high on it.
Yeah, my idea of camping is you pull out the stool at the hotel bar, you sit on it for a while, you camp out at the bar. That's my idea of camping.
Yeah, that's a lot like me, I think. All right, Tom, geez. All right, but let's get right into this. Hey, listen, there's a lot. I mean, Cam Newton is big news, and I don't know if I remember a time where an off-season signing for such little money and so incentive-laden has been this. I mean, it's a big deal. I think Patriot fans are intrigued and pretty excited. What do you think the Patriots can expect from this?
Well, I think that the Patriots are still wondering what they can expect from it. I think it's a no-risk situation. They don't have to worry about, you know, a lot of money invested here. And I think that they're almost as curious as a lot of fans are. And they probably were shown videos of Newton working out and everything else to see how he is. I mean, it's all about Cam Newton's health. You know, he lost a year. They would love, I mean, the best case scenario for the Patriots is one of two things. Either Stidham beats Newton out, which means that Stidham is really good and better than we thought, or Newton wins comeback player of the year. I mean, those are the two things that they're looking for. One of the two. They figure they have a good shot at one of the two. So I think that, you know, they had nothing to lose. So it'll be interesting in camp. I mean, I think the big loser of the Cam Newton thing is Brian Hoyer, because I don't know if they'd keep three veterans on the, you know, Stidham and then Newton and then keep Hoyer as a third quarterback. I don't know if they would do that or not. But I think right now, I mean, they're going to let it play out in whatever kind of training camp we see in the next you know, in the next 3 or 4 weeks or whenever they start.
If Stidham does beat him out, is Cam going to still be a Patriot? Do you think he stays? Do you think they?
No, that's the other thing too. Is they would have to decide that, and I think that they might say, okay, we'll let you go, so you can hook on somewhere else. Because I don't see Cam Newton sitting on the sidelines. I mean, you've heard all the social media stuff and the interviews and the thing with Odell Beckham Jr., the talk and everything else. I don't think Cam Newton thinks he's coming to the Patriots to stand on the sidelines and carry a clipboard for Jared Stidham. So if he ends up having to, I think that they'd cut him and let him go somewhere else. Problem is where, you know, who else needs a starting quarterback at this point? So there probably are a couple teams that could use him. But, I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. I think what Bill Belichick is going to do is he's going to do exactly what he always does. He's going to let it unfold in camp, and let's see how things progress. Let's see if Newton's shoulder is still bothering. Let's see how that foot is that we caused the problem on last year in an exhibition game. I mean, I remember walking in the tunnel towards the Patriots locker room and walked by Newton as he's walking out. And he wasn't wearing any outlandish clothes that night, and he was walking in a big, heavy boot and did not have a good look on his face. So I was shocked when Carolina played him to start the season, and I knew that he wasn't, you know, he just wasn't going to be 100%. So the Patriots will let that all unfold once they go out on the field, because they got a lot of questions to work through, because they just haven't seen these guys on a football field yet.
Sorry to step on you there, Tom. Do you think the Patriots...
My toes are okay.
Would you rather see the Patriots adapt their offense around Cam's athleticism, or would you rather see Cam sort of step into more of a pocket passer role and run the offense sort of the way it was?
Well, I think they got to take a look and see how mobile Newton's going to be with that foot and see if he's... I don't think you're going to see the same Cam Newton that you've seen other years. You see it in the NFL all the time. The injuries start mounting up. A player misses time. He's getting older. And while he's a big guy and can take a hit or two, I don't think they're going to try to put Cam Newton in danger. But at the same time, they'll try to adopt to some things that he likes to do. And they'll maybe see if they can kind of simplify it a little bit to the point where Newton's not running for his life all the time. And I don't think he will be behind that offensive line. So I think, you know, good coaches adopt what they have to their players. And I think the Patriots will do that to an extent that they feel that they can see what Newton can do and whether how mobile he really is.
I will say, though, I mean, Cam Newton is selling a product right now, at least, you know, right now. We haven't seen anything that he is able. He is mobile. He is moving. He wants to be able to do the things that he could do before. I mean, so he's selling right now something that I think Patriot fans are really intrigued by. I mean, obviously, we know the injuries, and you just mentioned it. You think Cam's going to be a little bit different. But what you're hearing from him, you know, out of his mouth is you're going to see, you know, you heard the big comment the other day about Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick can now can have new different – are going to be able to call different plays because of him. So he's not selling himself as a quarterback that's going to sit in the pocket. He's selling himself as a quarterback that's going to be the quarterback we've expected to see from Cam Newton since he came out of Auburn.
Have you ever heard of a professional athlete say, I can't do the things I've always been able to do? I mean, young age? No. So, I mean, he's going to say those things. But – I mean, look, the Patriots will take a look for themselves and see what they have. And that's what that's all about. They pretty much think they know what they have. But if they thought that Cam Newton was, if they were 100% sure, there's two things here. If they were 100% sure on Jared Stidham, they wouldn't have signed Cam Newton. But if they were 100% sure on Cam Newton, they wouldn't have signed him to such a low, you know, one-year, you know, small deal. And waited him out like they did, which was a smart play by the Patriots. Definitely a smart play. So, I mean, again, Jeff, they're going to have to wait and see what they have and see how he can react to things and then go from there. I mean, the road is littered with a lot of veteran players that the Patriots have signed in the offseason. None of this magnitude, maybe, but still some pretty good veteran players, and that they've been cut during camp. So I don't expect that to happen, but you never know. We'll have to see.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you expect Belichick and the coaching staff to just let this play out. You know, if, you know, we'll see who outplays who. I mean, do you expect there to be some type of quarterback controversy if Stidham has a decent camp and Cam, you know, they're almost neck and neck? I mean, do you see this being a kind of a an interesting camp for the Patriots?
Well, I mean, there's always a chance of that. I mean, they'd love for Stidham to challenge Newton. They would love for that because that means, again, that they have a good quarterback. Now, the question is if Stidham is going to be that good to challenge him, do you really want Stidham sitting on the sidelines? You know, because he's under your control in terms financially for a couple more years, and you don't want to stunt his growth. If Stidham is going to be that good, then why not play him now? And that would be the thing. If it's that close, I don't think they want Jarrett Stidham sitting on the sidelines. I really don't. And Cam Newton won't want to stand on the sidelines, and the Patriots will have to make a move. You know?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? I don't really see you want that young kid sitting there if he's not going to play.
Well, this is where I follow with you. And I understand this is going to be a little bit different, but was it 2004 when the Giants drafted Eli Manning or three, whatever it was, when he came out of Ole Miss?
Right. I think it was 2004. He comes out and they had Kurt Warner, you know, was the starter.
And they were, and they were, and they were 5-3 and looking like they're going towards a playoff run.
Right.
And they benched Kurt Warner to play Eli Manning, and we know that the season didn't end right. But could you foresee a situation where if they're neck and neck, they bring Cam in, and if, let's say, the Patriots start out, you know, 500, that they say, you know what, we're just going to go. I mean, I guess that's my question about this. If Cam Newton has the ability to get them to the playoffs, will they ride that? But if you look at two quarterbacks that are almost equal, and we deem that coming out of camp, let's just that's the way it plays out, you know, and Cam's 500 or a couple games over, do they say, okay, you know, we're going to give the keys to Stidham and see what we got? Or do they try to make the playoffs and make a run?
If they think they can make the playoffs, they're going to go with the best player.
Okay.
Their goal is to win. They're not there, you know, they're not doing bridge years or anything like that. In the NFL, you don't even do that if you can avoid it. You know, unless you're the team we root for, the Giants, you know? So
exactly.
That's, you know, you go with the best you have. And that's what they're going to do. And I think the Giants, when they had Kurt Warner, remember, Eli Manning was as raw as could be. He was a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Stidham's been around another year.
It's true.
So they don't have to, he's been around 1 year. And he looked pretty, I thought he looked pretty good in training camp and also in the preseason. He made some mistakes, but still, he had the poise. He looked like he knew what he was doing. That's what you always want your quarterback to do when he's young. Look like you know what you're doing. And, you know, look, if Cam Newton comes out there and starts slinging it all over the place, look, there's no way that Stidham's going to play, and they know that. So they're just going to have to see how things work out. But if it comes down to trying to make the playoffs or trying to win, they're going to go with the best guy they think they can win with, period. End of story.
If Cam Newton comes out this season, leads them to a 10-6 season, you know, maybe he wins comeback player of the year is a, you know, obviously, let's say he's not the Cam Newton he was, say, when he took his team to the Super Bowl. Let's say he's a very good Cam Newton, healthier.
Right.
Is he the quarterback of the Patriots the following season?
I would doubt it. Just because he'd probably want a lot of money, and the Patriots don't want to invest that much money in the position. Not when they have, you know, but I mean, there's always a chance. It depends on if they like what they see and they think that he's going to fit and they think that he's, you know, the best choice for them to win. And I think if that's the case, then they'd go, you know, they try to sign him, but they're not going to sign Cam Newton to a big mega contract. You know, that's not going to happen. And my guess is if he wins comeback player of the year, he would want one.
Right.
And that's where the divide is. So, you know, and then they go to plan B and that may be the kid sitting on the bench. Who knows?
You know, I think the most intriguing part of this season, and people disagree, but I think the Patriots are so intriguing because, like I've said to you earlier, and we talked about this a lot on the show, there is absolutely no way Bill Belichick stays if he thinks this is a rebuild. So there's this team has got to have something going on about it because I just can't imagine Belichick, with everything he's done at his age, sticking around. So
Belichick likes to build. He likes team building. He loves that part of the job. It's something that he's always really, really liked. And if you're the guy building the team, you don't have to do a rebuild because you're getting the players you think are going to win, right?
Right.
So I think that he's doing the job as long as he likes it, and right now I think he likes it a lot. I would say maybe 3 or 4 more years. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow. Wow. You think they win a championship within those 4 years?
Or compete for a championship? But I think you got a good quarterback in Kansas City that's going to, that is probably looking to do the same things that Tom Brady did to the rest of the AFC, a decade ago. And as recently as, this decade. So, or just the one we ended. So I think that it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It all depends on the competition, Jeff. The AFC has kind of stayed back and let the Patriots do their thing for so long. So, are these teams going to start to rise to the occasion? I don't know. That somebody's got to step up, and Kansas City did because they found a player who could match Tom Brady or even surpass him. And that's how they won. And, and that player, if Kansas City can manage the cap correctly and do the right things, they can win a few more. So because they have the guy who is probably one of the best quarterbacks, other than Brady, that I've ever seen.
Tom King, you are the best. Enjoy your weekend by the pool and your granola. We'll talk to you again down the road, buddy.
Yeah, enjoy. Maybe raisins are good too to take on a camping trip.
I hate raisins.
Don't set yourself on fire, Jeff.
Okay, be careful with those. They won't let me near the fire. I don't think they'll let me near any of that kind of stuff. So we're safe.
All right.
Thanks,
okay.
Buddy. Have a great day. Have a good one.
All right, guys.
See ya. I got to tell you, every time we talk to Tom, he's so close to the Patriots. I'm all in with his thought process. But I just, until I see the Kansas City Chiefs win, dominate, really dominate for another year or two, I'm not going to call them another dynasty. We just throw that out there like it's no big deal, Aaron. It's like we just look at, they were dynamite last year. They had a great comeback. We know how dynamic the quarterback is in Mahomes. We get all that stuff. But until I see this team, win 2 or 3 championships in 4 years, how are you going to call them a dynasty? You can't do that. And I don't care what anybody says. Bill Belichick still being in New England. I don't care how much he likes to build. The fact that he's still there tells you something. Because what else do you have to prove if you're Bill Belichick? Seriously. What else do you have to prove?
Nothing.
There's nothing. So, the fact that he's staying there should make Patriot fans say, you know what? This is good. Something's going to happen here. And I'm going to tell you, I'm saying it right now. They're going to win the AFC East again. Not that that's some bold prediction. But with better teams in New York, better team in Buffalo, and an improving team in Miami, I think, and with what we see in New England, I think it's easy to say that the run is over, but I don't think it's over for them.
It doesn't look like the division it's been for the last decade or so. It looks like this division could get really strong really fast.
Yeah, and it's going to be competitive, but yeah. I just don't see the Patriots losing it, but we'll see. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we talk more about this because there's all these things going on. The Huddle had some good stuff this week, so we'll talk about that next.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Know you who you coming after. And I'm like, yeah, great. What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you're able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now.
That's Cam Newton talking about his joining the New England Patriots and taking over for the legend Tom Brady. Interesting, that comment right there got the boys on the huddle. Everybody got their ire up a little bit. Everybody kind of had an opinion on whether or not Cam Newton was taking a shot at Tom Brady. And I think the consensus is that he wasn't, because he definitely gave him his due. But I thought Arnie had an interesting thing to say.
Are you kidding me? Can you imagine? Well, then I'll give you the comparison to this. Rich, I want to explain something to you. Brady's not smart enough to get this, but you and I will. Well, isn't that the same thing? He took a shot at Tom Brady?
Hear it there.
You could now call stuff that you couldn't call with Tom Brady.
Okay, that's true.
What do you think that means?
He prefaced that.
What do you think that means? That's like me saying, I'm going to tell you something. Brady Farkas isn't going to understand because he's not smart enough. But you and I will.
Tom Brady is natural enough. He's not going to run sweeps.
I think Arnie is, as you know, I love Arnie. I mean, he's obviously taken to the nth degree there. But, you know, to me, I look at that comment. And it's so funny. Like, I saw that they had tweeted this out during the week, and I said that I'm with my guy Arnie, and I'm usually with my guy Arnie. I love his takes are usually pretty funny, and I usually are correct. But I can also understand where anybody would see, like, you know, we were talking about this when we were show prepping this morning about, you know, he gave Tom Brady his due. There's no question about that, Aaron. There's no question about that. He made a point to say, look, you know, what Tom Brady is special, and you felt the same way.
Yeah. See, my thing is, I don't think he's trying to sell Tom Brady short. I think he's trying to point out that he can do some things. It's like you were saying with Tom King, actually, the whole selling what he can do, still selling that product of I can run, I can move around, I can do things athletically. And that's sort of his point, I think, is he's sort of selling this image of now you can run read options. Now you can run sprint outs and QB runs, QB dives even if you want to. I don't know if that's a good idea, but that's what he's selling, I think, more than, you know, taking shots at Tom Brady.
And I think where Arnie's going is, and I think when you dive deeper into it, I think it was almost, and I think, and again, when you're sitting in that realm, and again, understand what's happening in the situation where Cam Newton's talking. He's in a podcast, I believe, with Odell Beckham Jr. was in this podcast, along with, was it Todd Gurley?
Yep.
So, you know, you're sitting around talking football, and so, you know, he gave Tom Brady his due, but I think the tone, it kind of sounded like it was like, oh, yeah, he was great. He was great. But now, Coach McDaniel, now you can do some things you couldn't do before. And I think that's where I think Arnie can take that, anybody could take that as, you know, listen, I think for Cam Newton, he is stepping into, if you're going to step into the shoes of the greatest of all time, and there's not a quarterback that's around that I would say I'd rank above Tom Brady. There just isn't. I mean, what he did, what he has done for 20 plus years is been done by nobody else. And when I think back to the quote unquote dynasties that we've seen in the last 30 years, the San Francisco 49ers, as much talent as Joe Montana had, he never did the things Tom Brady did in terms of winning consistently that many times or being in a position to win that many times. Steve Young, who took over for him afterwards, didn't have that kind of success. Troy Aikman, who I think would be looked at as the dynasty of the Dallas Cowboys for a numerous amount of years, never had this kind of success. And then you can go back even farther if you want to talk about some of the legends of the 50s and the 60s, but nobody is Tom Brady. But I think if you had to take over for anybody as legendary as Tom Brady, the way Cam Newton is doing it is the right way to do it, because Cam Newton is coming in here, and I believe it. And if you listen more of that interview with him, he's coming in there. He's hungry, and there's a chip on his shoulder. He's not signing a big contract and walking in here and trying to take over for a legend. He is coming in here with something to prove. He is coming into New England with the mindset that you are going to get the best of me. You are going to get the best of Cam Newton. Now, whether he can perform to that level is yet to see. But I think if you had to take over for a legend, this is the way you want to do it. Now, I guess I compare Tom Brady in the same breath as I do Derek Jeter. And people will say, well, because, you know, you're a Yankee fan. No, Derek Jeter was the heart and soul, the captain of the last dynasty in baseball. The New York Yankees from 96 he won 5 or 6 championships. What did he win? Jeter won 5 championships, 96, 98, 99, 2000, and then they won in 2009. So he won 5 championships. But Derek Jeter made the Yankees relevant from 96 until he retired. I mean, that was something in baseball which is unheard of in terms of a team being as consistent as they have been. So when he retired, Didi Gregorius has been thrust into the position the year after. That's tough to do because you're bringing in a guy that needs to perform. And he saw, you know, so that's a different animal. Where Cam Newton situation is, hey man, I'm coming in here. You don't have to have any expectation because the Patriots aren't paying me anything, but I have everything to prove. And I think that gives Cam Newton an advantage in terms of taking over for a legend and can have a lot more success because of that.
And he did speak about the chip on the shoulder, and I have the sound if you want it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
All right, you know, and I thought, hey, you getting a dog? You getting one of these ticked off dogs too? That's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man. The agent act like he was like, well, we gotta wait till it was just all type of. you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm gonna take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm gonna commit to myself.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, what he, so basically what he said was, you know, he had other offers, but he worked himself into a position, and who and where better to go than the greatest coach ever to live. Yeah. You know, and that goes to the next point that I want to talk about. That it was a, now I think Brady mentioned this week, and I don't know if you have the sound on it, but basically Brady mentioned that Bill Belichick needs to have a mindset where he moves closer to Cam Newton. Am I correct in this so far? Because this is what I'm reading on. I was reading it on Twitter this week.
He spoke about how it should be more in the middle, in less of the attitude the Pats have in general, which is that the players just, you know, conform to what the team is doing. His opinion was that Cam and Bill need to meet in the middle more, Cam's way more than he would with other players.
But that's not. But see, I disagree with that, because Bill Belichick's way wins. Okay, like I don't understand why we have to. Why he has to adapt? Why wouldn't Cam Newton come in? And what does that even mean? Adapt? Cam Newton's got to come into camp with the Patriots, ready to work and ready to try to win a championship. But Bill Belichick's way, folks, is the way to win a championship. It's the way to make you relevant. It's the way to make you an all-pro. It's the way to make you big money. I mean, how many guys, we do this every single week, we talk about the Patriots, Aaron. You're a big Patriot fan. I mean, we've been doing this show for 5-6 years. You've been a part of it for most of it. We talk every year. How are the Patriots going to be successful? They let X, Y, and Z go. Who is this guy that's going to be their linebacker? Who's this guy playing cornerback? Who's this running back? Who's this guy? Who's that guy? End of the year, they're leaving the Patriots to sign million-dollar contracts with other teams. Bill Belichick knows how to run an organization. He knows how to run a team. So the thought process that we all of a sudden have to adapt ourselves to the player, and the player doesn't have to, you know, just has to be himself, to me is wrong, especially when you're walking into an organization like the Patriots, that's what they are about winning. That's what they're about. And my last point, and then I'll let you get to this, is just listening to Colin Cowherd's mentality, that little soundbite we had a second ago, you know, branding Colin Cowherd's show. About, you know, Bill Belichick trying to sell that it's fun here. Like, don't worry, it's fun. What the hell are you talking about, fun? Of course it's fun. It's fun to be a professional football player. It's fun to win. It's fun to be a Patriot. How is it not fun to be a Patriot? Can somebody explain that to me? Like, I mean, yes, it's a business, but it's a business in every organization. The New England Patriots are the standard bearer for what's great in the NFL. They are every single year. So why are we painting a picture that's not fun to be a Patriot? I don't get any of that. I think Cam Newton's going to come in and thrive, not for two reasons. Number one, I think Cam Newton's a really good quarterback, but I think he's going to be disciplined when he plays for the Patriots, because that's what they demand. And when you accept that and you play for something bigger than yourself, you can be elite. And I think that's why, if you're a Patriot fan, you should be excited about Cam Newton.
Well, from an on-the-field perspective, that's what Bill Belichick always does, is adapt and meet in the middle with where his players are and what he has, because otherwise you're trying to force guys to do things they can't do. He's very good at that. So is Josh McDaniels. That's sort of how they always go. From an off the field perspective, I can understand someone looking at the situation and saying, well, they should probably give him the Gronk leash, which is looser than everybody else, but you're still expecting them not to go and do stupid things.
Right, but what is that? But I guess I'm just trying to understand what you expect. What has Cam Newton done that you would deem as this is not good for a team? Besides, right, you know, he is definitely a pumped, you know, he's look at me kind of guy. You know, he's a, you know, he's one of those guys, and he's, you know, he's boisterous on the field, that the Superman thing he does. But I don't look at any of that and think that's going to be a problem in New England.
Right, I know all the. You know, he's very vocal. He dresses a certain way. He's very expressive on the field. I don't really understand where his reputation comes from. That some people seem to think he's like a troublemaker, or that he's, you know, too much. And I don't really get where that comes from. But that is sort of his perception amongst a lot of people in public. I think a lot of it actually comes from after that Super Bowl when he, you know, walked out and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has done some things that, you know, you would look at and you deem as, okay, that's a little bit selfish, but I don't look at him and think, no, this is a problem for morale on a team. I've never seen him do anything that would you deem that.
No, we had a guest on a couple weeks ago who said that he's a stellar teammate.
Right.
And that's his reputation amongst all the other players, is that he gets along with everybody. He's really good in the locker room. He's not hard to manage from a coaching perspective. Like, I don't really get where that reputation comes from. I don't think he deserves it. I think what the reputation he deserves is that he's a competitor and, you know, really, really wants to win.
I kind of like the fact that he tweaks these reporters. I kind of like that. I think that's the problem. The reporters don't like it because he doesn't want to talk to him half the time.
Yeah, they do that same thing with Marshawn Lynch. They you know, painted him a certain way because he didn't like to talk to them. They did it with Sean Taylor, too.
Well, and I again, when I – yeah, okay. I mean, of course, Marshawn Lynch, you don't know what's going on with Marshawn Lynch. I mean, the things he would say. But for me, I think when it comes to the Patriots and the Patriot way, I don't understand why we paint the Patriots as a place it's not fun to be at. I mean, the Patriots are the organization. They are the standard bearer for what every organization, every fan base wants. They want success. They want continuity. They want consistency. They want to be relevant. And that's what the Patriots are. If that's not fun for you, if you can't be a pro in a winning organization, then maybe you shouldn't be playing the sport. Because being a professional athlete is what we all dream to be if you're a sports guy, right? If you love sports, you dream of being in those positions. And if you've got to sell that it's fun to be a Patriot, then we got to rethink what we're doing here. It's going to be a good year for you, New England, I'm telling you right now. And if Cam Newton does what he says he can do, you're going to have a really good year. And we asked Tom King this a couple minutes ago, right? If Cam Newton has a big year, is he the quarterback of the Patriots the following year? If he has a big year and they're winning, yes, he's going to be the next star in New England. But he's got to prove it first on the field. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, I love this part, out in left field time. And I haven't heard this one yet, so I assume it's probably crazy. We'll be right back.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's story enough for me personally, Out in Left Field, the fact that I'll be camping later on. I mean, that's, for me in my life, that's Out in Left Field, but this is probably better than that. Go ahead, kiddo, what do you got?
Well, let's hope you don't come across one of these on your camping trip. Florida police capture a kangaroo hopping through Fort Lauderdale.
I would be all right if I saw a kangaroo over any, over a bear or a simple snake. I'd take a kangaroo over a snake. I would.
So would you rather be beat up by a kangaroo or bit by a not poisonous snake?
Beat up by a kangaroo all day. I mean, I've seen it. You saw that, you ever see that YouTube thing where the guy's boxing the yeah. kangaroo? I mean, yeah, I mean, I would much rather take on a kangaroo. No question.
So after receiving a call about a kangaroo running loose in the area, officers managed to capture it and place it in a squad car. Can you imagine that?
They put it in the car?
yeah. Imagine walking by a police car and you're like, oh, what if someone's in there? And it's a kangaroo funny. Just sitting there like, oh, man. So far, police have few clues as to the origins of this misplaced marsupial, but no one was injured in its capture, fortunately. He's been turned That's over good. To the South Florida Wildlife Center.
That's kind of, I mean, you don't see that every day, and I'm glad that it's got a happy ending, because sometimes these things don't have happy endings. But they got him in the squad car. I would have liked to have seen a picture of that. I wonder if, like, he just sat in the back, you know, looking out the window, you know, hanging out. That'd be interesting to see.
They posted a picture of it on Twitter. I don't know if he's in car in the picture or not.
Where did it say where he came out, where he came from?
They don't know. They have not figured out where...
I mean, the kangaroos are not native to to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it's a fun place to visit, but no. I mean, you know.
He must have either escaped from a facility and they just haven't figured out who yet. Or someone brought him here illegally, or someone brought him here and had, like, a license.
Or maybe
to
he
do
came
it.
From... Yeah, because I guess if he came from a zoo, I guess the zoo would have announced that the kangaroo was on the loose.
Yeah, you'd think you'd know if it was from somewhere official. It sounds more like someone brought a kangaroo over and lost it.
Dennis from Georgia just joined us here on the Town Fair Tire text line. He says, Jeff, bring your autograph book when you go camping in case you see Bigfoot, in case you meet him. Yeah, it's good advice. You know, I won't be able to get a picture of him because there's no service out there, but that's probably when I will see Bigfoot for the first time. I'm telling you, right, I got to stop talking about my camping because I'm painting a picture for myself that's pretty embarrassing. But you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I don't know. But the kangaroo story is a good one. Have you ever seen a kangaroo, like a real kangaroo, like in live?
Not in person, but I've heard that they're very cool and that their pouches are way scarier than people realize.
Yeah, I actually went to a zoo in years ago, and not actually, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, near Cocoa Beach, Florida. I think it's called the Brevard Zoo, and they had a bunch of kangaroos. And they're cute and they're fun, but whoo, they are ripe. I'll tell you what, they got it.
They stink.
They do. But again, you know, they're in the heat, and I'm sure that's just part of it, but they're an amazing animal. So this kangaroo is just walking down the road.
Yeah, just hopping.
Or hopping down the road.
Hopping around Fort Lauderdale.
And did it happen to mention how they caught the kangaroo? I mean, what do they even eat? What would you tempt them with? I don't even know how you get a kangaroo.
I don't know. I wonder if they lured it, or if kangaroos are used to people enough that he didn't run off. Maybe he confronted them and they had to wrestle him down or something.
I mean, I hope that didn't happen.
It says they managed to capture it.
Capture the kangaroo. I wonder how you catch a kangaroo. Can you imagine that call? You call the police and you're like, listen, there's a kangaroo and We'll send old Aaron over on that one. Get Aaron and his partner. We'll get him to go get this.
You're probably driving over thinking this is probably a prank call or something. And then you get there.
And there's the kangaroo.
Oh man.
That's an interesting story. And of course it happened in Florida, so of course. And you said that it ended in a good situation. He's in a refuge somewhere.
Yep, no one was hurt, and he was turned over to the South Florida Wildlife Center.
Well, good. So it's a happy story today on a summer day here on Sports Saturday. We like those, don't we, Aaron?
Yes, it's much. Yeah. I prefer the happy ones.
Yes, much better. We like happy over sad. All right, sports update time, and then the 11 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Huddle is the number one ranked afternoon show in the Champlain Valley, and it airs weekdays from 3 to 6 on WCPV Essex Burlington Plattsburgh, 101.3 The Game. The Game, trending now.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Aaron Wells with your 101.3 The Game sports update. According to Alex Abrami of the Burlington Free Press, the America East Conference has postponed fall sports competition and championships for the duration of the fall semester amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The league's board of presidents unanimously approved the decision, in addition to setting up a framework to potentially allow fall sports to return in the spring. Practice time training and other team activities will be permitted at the discretion of each school and in accordance with health and safety guidelines. The Catamount fall sports teams affected include men's and women's soccer, field hockey, and men's and women's cross-country running. At this time, winter sports, including basketball, will begin on time, according to the conference. Coming up after the show, there will be rebroadcasts of The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady from noon to 6, just like every week. And now it is time for Sports Saturday, Hour 2. We are living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game. 1013thegame.com. We are always streaming, so you can take us anywhere on the 101.3 The Game app, or you can watch us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/1013thegame.
101.3 The Game.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
That's kind of what spring training is about, is, you know, these games really don't matter right now. It's about getting ready for, you know, opening day. So, you know, if I didn't play a single spring training game, but I'm ready to play for opening day, I'm going to be excited about that. So, yeah, I'm not really too worried about it. You know, you break a wrist, you know, you break a bone in your ribs, you know, from diving, trying to make a play for your pitcher, get hit in the wrist by a pitcher, you know, it's just freak things, you know, but I'm going to keep playing this game hard. And
welcome back to Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And you can watch us live on Twitch TV. How do you get there? www.twitch.com/1013thegame. How do you get there?
www.twitch.tv/1013thegame.
That's a lot to remember. Anyway, you can watch us on TV if you feel necessary. You want to do that. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. That was Yankees superstar Aaron Judge, as he's facing another small injury. It looks like he's overcoming it. This one was a simple injury from just sleeping wrong, where he had a neck issue. Aaron Judge has faced a little criticism this week. Buster Olney was on the Huddle earlier this week here with the guys, and this is what he had to say.
As he moves forward, that's the great unknown. Mm. Can he stay healthy? Because he's had a number of these type of injuries. I know yesterday they didn't think they were far away from getting Judge back on the field. You know, there may have even, as we're talking, some sort of an update on that. You know, their hope was that he was going to be able to play today. But he's got to be frustrated. You got to believe the Yankees are somewhat frustrated that he's had this series of injuries.
And I think that's a fair criticism, but then you listen to what Aaron said just a moment ago here on 101.3 The Game with us on The Game. Not with us, but the clip we put, it'd be fun to get Aaron Judge. We'll get him someday, because I got a good relationship with their PR guy with the Yanks.
Oh,
we're going to try
awesome.
To get that sometime hooked up. But, you know, to Aaron Judge's defense, you know, he dealt with getting hit in the wrist, which is a fluke injury where he broke his wrist. And late in the season last year, he dove trying to make a play for a pitcher, and he broke a rib. I think the argument I had with the rib situation was, and we kind of forgot about it because, you know, we talked about this back in January or in February and early March before COVID shut everything down. But he had this injury. The injury that Aaron Judge sustained with his rib happened in like last September. And the Yankees didn't recognize and understand he had a rib injury until March of spring training. I mean, that to me is a story there. I mean, how do you know? How does Aaron Judge, your quote unquote franchise guy, the guy that a lot of people believe is going to be the next captain of your organization? And if you're a Yankee, that's a big deal. I don't know if you understand that. You know, the captain, when you're a captain of the Yankees, it's a big deal. You know, but that he was. I mean, I don't understand that at all. And then he was going to miss the early part of the beginning of the season because of this rib injury. They didn't expect him back for months. And then that thing wears now that is healed, obviously. And now he goes to bed a couple nights ago and wakes up with a stiff neck, which happens to everybody. So I don't know if that's a fair criticism. If the Yankees look at him and say he's injury prone. Now, he had the oblique injury, I believe, as well last season, early in the season. And that's been happening a lot with baseball players. These guys that are muscled up, these guys that are, you know, there aren't any more Babe Ruth bodies in Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? You know, the Molina boys are far and few in between, if you know what I'm saying, with baseball. These guys are strong, fit, very little body fat. And so obliques have become a real issue, and it happens to big, strong guys, and that's what Aaron Judge is. So I think there's got to be some concern a little bit there. You see that with Giancarlo Stanton. He gets these injuries as well. He seems to be injury prone as well.
Well, when you're that powerful and you choose to use it, it does put your body at risk. I mean, Bo Jackson did the same. Bo Jackson ended his own career basically because he was so strong he dislocated his own hip.
Right, but again, that's just a fluke injury. Bo Jackson was not injury prone until that injury.
No, but like those are things that can happen when you're that powerful.
Sure, that's very true, very true. But I don't know if it's fair to look at Aaron Judge and say he's got, you know, the Yankees are concerned that, you know, that he's got to stay healthy. I do believe, though, that we need to see Aaron Judge for a prolonged period of time stay healthy. So I don't think it's a criticism of Aaron Judge, it's just the reality that he's in. Because we really don't even know what we can expect from Aaron Judge, because we haven't seen a real healthy Aaron Judge in a few years. And I think that, you know, he came out so quickly. And I feel like for Aaron Judge, one of the tough things for him is that Yankee fans fell in love with him. When he came on the scene, he was hitting home runs at like an insane, I mean, I think he's one of, I think he's the fastest guy, and I'm sorry if I'm giving you wrong information here because I potentially am, but I think he's like the youngest guy to get to 100 home runs. He's the quickest guy to get there, I think. In fact, I think I was at the game where there was some home run. I was actually at the game where my buddy Jamie Rossi got hit with the ball. Actually, one of my friends almost got the ball, but some other guy got it. But that home run was meaningful in some capacity where he was the first to reach something at such a young age. But because of his injuries, you know, he hasn't really been able to. We haven't seen like a full season of Aaron Judge. It's always a rushed Aaron Judge. You get him on the field. He's trying to get his timing back. There's always something. But when he's healthy, I mean, he's proven that he could be the face of baseball. And in a time right now where baseball needs that face, I mean, Aaron Judge is the perfect guy. He's got the demeanor of Derek Jeter, and he's got the talent of when healthy, you know, a Ken Griffey Jr. in terms of what he can do power wise. You know, so, and he's, you know, he would be the prototypical guy you want out in front. But when you can't stay healthy, that becomes a problem, Aaron. And I think for the Yankees right now, and going into the 60-game season, I think that's a real question mark. Now, it looks like he is going – I don't know. I know that this weekend is the weekend that these guys – that these baseball teams start to play other teams. So I don't want to call them spring training games, but they're, you know, like training camp games. And the season starts really soon. So I think the expectation for him will be to be in the lineup when the season starts, which will be good for the Yanks.
Yeah, it's really tough because he's such a promising player. Like he's – I mean, the guy cranks homers – he's a crazy athlete, and he's also a super likable guy for a face of a franchise. I mean, the dude smiles infectious.
Did you ever see the guy? You see the Yankee Red Sox fight, and he took the whole Red Sox team right into the dugout with him. The Yankees were getting pounded that day, but I sure like that. Hey, our own Brady Farkas just joined us here on the Town Fair Tire text line. He said, "Do you trust Aaron Judge for that big money?" I think that's a great question, Brady, and you know, that's a tough one. I mean, especially in today's baseball, because baseball teams and these players, they're doing it differently. So I don't know if you do. I don't know if you look at Aaron Judge and say he's worth the big contract. He's worth the contract that, say, Mookie Betts wants, or the contract that Manny Machado wanted or Harper wanted. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think he's worth it for butts in the stands. I think if you're trying to sell jerseys and you want him to be the face of your organization, yeah, sure. But is any player, the way baseball's being developed now and the way teams are organizing their rosters and the way they're doing business, and I'll ask you, Aaron, I mean, you know, is he the guy you're going to spend all that? Are you going to do that? I mean, I just don't know if baseball teams are going to spend the big money on guys. They're just not doing it. I think with all the problems the Houston Astros had, obviously, and we know the cheating situation they had, But when you look at teams like the Houston Astros, you look at teams like the Kansas City Royals when they won back in 2015, I believe is when they won. You look at even the Yankees, and you look at the Red Sox pre-Dave Dombrowski. I mean, right now we're in that world where the blueprint to win is to build from within. And it's okay to stink for a couple years because you're building your farm system, you're bringing these guys in. And what you're seeing out of the Red Sox right now, and we don't even know what we have with the Red Sox right now, because COVID, as terrible as COVID's been, organizations like the Red Sox, you're not talking about it. But all the decisions that was made with Dave Dombrowski have put the Red Sox right now in a position where you don't think they're going to be very good for a while because their farm system has been depleted. They won their championship, and that's, I guess, that's all you care about. You're trying to win championships. But the Red Sox way of building from within is gone. I mean, they're trying to get back to that. The Yankees kind of expected to go through that transition after the Derek Jeters left and after the A-Rods left. They brought in the kids, right? I mean, the Yankees got better in 2000 and whatever year it was when they had Andrew Miller and Chapman. So the year the Cubs won, they got better when they traded Chapman and Miller. And everybody thought the Yankees putting their hands up. Well, the Yankees made a run for the wild card. They brought all these kids up, and the kids performed. And the kids made the Yankees relevant. And the following year, the Yankees were a game away from the World Series. So what you're seeing now is that organizations are basing all of their growth and what they want to do and what they want to be by building from within. So is Aaron Judge worth that kind of money? I don't know if he is. I don't know if he's worth that kind of money. I don't know if the Yankees want to spend that kind of money. That's why it's going to be a tough decision. My guess is I think Aaron Judge is the next guy to be captain of the Yankees. So I think you're going to see him get a very, very big contract. But, stand up straight, folks, because joining us now, a little phone call here from our guy Brady. Good morning, Brady. What's happening, buddy?
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream and taking you with us, buddy.
Well, I couldn't wait until Monday. So Aaron Judge is 28 years old. I agree with you. He's the face of the Yankees. He's got 2 years left on his contract. What kind of deal do you try? I mean, should they rip up the two-year deal and give him an eight-year deal now that takes him until he's to stay healthy enough? Because you already got Stan forever. That's what I'm wrestling with. They need Judge, but if he gets hurt, he can't play DH because you can't get rid of Stanton.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brad. I think the Yankees are in a situation right now that it's a tough question to answer, and I don't know if the Yankees want to be doing contract tracks like that anymore. I really don't. So it's a tough position the Yankees are in with Aaron Judge, and you forget, you know, you made a great point there too. He's 28 years old. Yeah, I look at you look at Aaron Judge, and you think he's 22 years old. He's not. He's 28 years old. So, I mean, the Yankees are in a tough position with Aaron Judge. I agree with you, Brady, 100%, if you can believe it.
Well, I just don't know what they do, considering he won't even hit free agency until 30. So if he hits it at 30, you're right. They're not giving him a 10-year deal. So you rip it up now, you give him a 6, 8-year deal, but it still takes him till 36 that you don't know. And I also got to get your thoughts. Did you see the Instagram rumor that Domingo Germán retired?
I did. I saw that this morning. I just skimmed it. Yeah, Domingo Germán, if you don't remember, folks, Domingo Germán is the one. So Domingo Germán was the next big thing with the Yankees. In fact, I think it really affected the Yankee rotation when Domingo Germán got in trouble. So basically what happened was he punched or he slapped his girlfriend. Terrible story. And the Yankees suspended him and baseball suspended him. But it looks like Domingo Germán is going to walk away from the game. Interesting take. I mean, Domingo and we, Brady, I think there's another call coming here, so we appreciate you giving us a buzz, man. Have a great weekend. But yeah, Domingo Germán now not getting back into baseball. He potentially was supposed to be the next big pitcher for the Yankees. And people forget that he was a huge difference maker for them going through the season last year. When they lost Domingo Germán, they lost a ton. Not only did they lose depth in their bullpen, but they lost a quality guy they could plug in as a starter. And he's one of those guys that when you're doing those relievers that pitch for an inning to start games, he was that kind of guy. He was like that middle of the inning kind of guy. And he's walking away from the game. I mean, and I don't know why, and I don't know enough to even comment on it, but what he did was wrong. And I don't even know if there was anything done in terms of alleviating any of the story. So I don't know if baseball even came out with letting him come back or what the process was, but it looks like Domingo Germán will not be in Major League Baseball forever now. It looks like he's walking away from the game. So that's another story. But, you know, Brady brings up a great point about Aaron Judge. I mean, you know, the Yankees aren't going to give him an 8-year. I can't see unless they do it soon. But if you know Brian, if you watch Brian Cashman work, it doesn't matter who you are. You're not gonna do this contract till the contract's ready. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Well, the big point there, in my opinion, was the fact that he mentioned since you have Giancarlo Stanton locked up for a long time,
yeah,
that DH position is not open for Aaron Judge if he is to get an injury that makes it difficult for him to play not DH, basically anything other than DH. It could be a problem.
I do think it's unfair, though, to say that Aaron Judge in 2 or 3 or 4 years is going to be the DH. I mean, you know, the injuries that he's had, the injury that I remember that I can think of top of head that's disturbing is the oblique. When you have oblique injuries, you think, okay, that's not a good thing. But the other two injuries are just fluke injuries.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. With an 8-year contract, that's kind of stuff you still have to consider.
But I don't think he's going to get an 8-year contract. But I think what the Yankees will do, and I think we'll know a lot more about Aaron Judge when this contract is up. I think when Aaron Judge is 30 and the contract's up, the Yankees will make a decision. That's what I think they'll do. Because in 2 years, you're going to know a lot more about him, right? If the next 2 years he's able to stay healthy, he hits 301, he hits 45 home runs a year, he drives in 120, RBIs the next 2 years, and he's a superstar, then you got a tough decision to make. And again, this is what I always say. Do you want to be relevant? Do you care? And again, it's not even our money, so what do we care? We just want our teams to be good. We want our teams to be relevant. But the Yankees will have to look at it and say, look, if we sign Aaron Judge to an 8-year deal right now at 30 years old, in 2 years from, he's just tearing it up, and he's the face of our team. We want him to be the face of our team. We get what he represents. Do you look at it as we're going to get at least out of the 8 years, 4 of them are going to be potentially elite, and we'll make a decision on 5, 6, 7, 8? Do we do that like they did with Alex Rodriguez? I mean, Alex Rodriguez, the mentality was, yeah, it's not going to be good in the back end, but maybe we can win a bunch of championships. And they won one with him. So, I mean, that's what you have to look at.
Well, and do you consider, in order to make this situation easier in terms of that decision-making, do you consider trying to offload Stanton onto a team that feels like they're one big offensive
piece
away?
Oh, hell yes! Oh, the Yankees would do that right now if they could find someone to take that, but that's not going to happen.
Well, if they could see, like, the Dodgers had tons of pieces, and they made a move.
Like, I know, but the Dodgers window is going like this. Okay?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the Dodgers window is closing.
In the next couple years, if you get another team like that...
Oh, of course! I mean, but let me just say this. There are teams out there right now that could use a bat like Stanton in the lineup, and they're not going to take that on. I mean, that's just the way it is. But
it's a massive contract.
It's a huge contract. So, I mean, regardless of that, he is an impact player, and Stanton's still a young guy. But he's another one. He's another one that's got to stay healthy.
Right.
But Brady has got a great point, because to me, how about me agreeing with Brady today? Huh? This is good stuff. My goodness. This is out in left field day. But Giancarlo Stanton is the perfect DH, because he's an average outfielder. You know, he's not going to be a first baseman, so he's going to be the DH of the future. So I agree, man. You got a tough decision to make with Aaron Judge, but I think if you're the Yankees, and I think this is what the Yankees have done for years, they did it with Jeter, they did it with Bernie Williams. In Bernie Williams' prime, when they were winning championships in the middle of that run, Bernie Williams almost jumped to the Red Sox. They're going to wait the 2 years, see what happens, and make a decision from there. But if he's who we all believe Aaron Judge is, can stay healthy, he's going to get the contract. Whether it's 8 years, 6 years, 7 years, we'll see how that plays out, but he's going to get the contract. All right, we take a quick break when we come back. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm not a video game guy, but we're going to talk about the Madden rankings. And I don't, who's making these decisions, by the way? I want to know the people in the room. We'll talk about that next.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I told you last week I gave you all this awesome music for our returns. And here we go again. Just the music you and Austin like every single week. It's just you and Austin. Doesn't matter about me at all. Months ago, I sent you that awesome music, but where is it, Aaron? Where is it, buddy?
It wasn't months ago, and I will have it. I'm going to get it.
I'm just playing with you. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game, 802-655-6672 if you want to join our conversation today. Or you can do what a lot of people are doing today. We love the text line, the Town Fair Tire text line, at the same number, 802-655-6672. Great to hear from all of you today. And good, happy Saturday. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Good weekend to hang out by the water, though. And make sure you're drinking a lot of water. It's going to be hot. All right, I swore I wasn't going to do this. But here I go. I cannot believe, and maybe it's just because we have no sports to talk about, but so I don't play video games. The last time I played a video game, and this is like video game like this, like Madden, was in like 2001 or 2002. I bought a PlayStation back then, and I only bought Madden. I played it. I haven't played like the new Madden. I'm guessing, I got some friends to do that say I would love it. I guess the game is just unbelievable. But anyway, they have these rankings that have come out. So Aaron, you know, being the super producer that he is, put together some of these things. And I did notice that during the week, some of the conversation on the huddle was about where Tom Brady's ranked quarterback-wise. So we're going to talk about a couple quarterbacks here this segment. And feel free to jump in if you'd like. But let's start with Tom Brady.
So Tom Brady is fifth at quarterback, ranked
right.
90 overall out of 1 to 99.
Right. So ahead of him is only Patrick Mahomes, which, of course, number one. Russell Wilson, can see that, number two. Excuse me. Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, the year before last led the league in fumbles, and now he's number three in Madden. So we understand how good he is. Just want to throw that out there before I get to my other quarterback I want to talk about.
Yep.
And then Drew Brees, number four, which you can see, and then Tom Brady. And it seems that people think this Tom Brady seeding, or whatever you call this, ranking, is too high. I mean, why is it too high? I mean, Tom Brady, again, I'm going to say it again. I say it every week. Last year, after like week four or five, we were talking about the Patriots being going undefeated throughout the season. And we know what happened. Injuries, a lot of things happened to the Patriots last year. But why would you not rank Tom Brady high? What makes you think that Tom Brady's done? Until you see him be done, he's not done. And I know the people say, oh, he missed some throws last year. I mean, listen, the Patriots were dealing with huge injuries that you just can't fix in the season. You know, you don't have it. You know, it's not like you lost somebody in the offseason. So you lost somebody, say, in August, and then you have a new guy that you come to training camp with. That's not how this worked. You have guys that weren't even on rosters, or maybe they were on the practice squad, or they were buried on the bench, that were forced to play huge minutes for the Patriots and huge quarters for the Patriots that he was trying to play with and trying to adapt. But I don't think that's the biggest atrocity on this list, that Tom Brady is five. Should I tell you what I think the greatest atrocity is?
I think people could probably guess.
So let me ask you a question, Aaron. How many football teams are there in the NFL? How many teams are there?
32.
So there's 32 teams in the NFL. How many quarterbacks, Pertell, basically, how many starting quarterbacks are there?
32.
There's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So let me go, I just want to go down this list here. You know where Daniel Jones ranks on this? You know where Daniel Jones is?
I know.
You know, and I know, and I'm going to tell you all. Number 30. How is Daniel Jones number 30 on this list? Let me tell you about some of the guys that are ahead of him. Andy Dalton, who's going to be the backup in Dallas, is ahead of Daniel Jones. Tua, the first-round pick of the Miami Dolphins, is ahead of Daniel Jones. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's my age, is ahead of Daniel Jones. Teddy Bridgewater is ahead of Daniel Jones. Joe Burrow, he hasn't played a quarter yet. He's ahead of Daniel Jones. I could go on out. Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill. Baker Mayfield is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13 spaces above Daniel Jones. I'm just going to tell you this right now, folks. This is blasphemy. This is craziness to me. Daniel Jones, by the end of this season, and let's hope the season happens, is going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. I'm just telling you. He's going to be a top 10 quarterback. And I don't understand. I'm telling you, that's why I wonder who these people are that make these decisions on how Daniel Jones falls back this far. See, you had me for a while. I'm like, you know, maybe this is something we talk about, because it's not just us and Brady and the guys and Arnie and Rich talking about this. They talk about this stuff nationally. I read articles I've seen people tweet about these lists. And Daniel, listen, Kirk Cousins is like, Kirk Cousins is on the first page. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So Kirk Cousins is 14 and Daniel Jones is 30?
Yeah, so you've got two rookie quarterbacks, but it looks like two backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
A guy who generally throws about as many interceptions as he does touchdowns in Jameis Winston.
Right.
It's definitely an interesting group in directly above him.
It's insane. It's wrong. And I don't understand what people don't see in this guy. I really don't. You know what I think it is? I think it's because, and I mean this, I think it's like a vendetta, because people know, and I don't know if vendetta is the right word to use. I'm just trying to use a big word here, sound like I'm some smart guy. But to me, with the way it went down when Daniel Jones was drafted, nobody wants to give this kid his due. And he deserves it. I mean, look, I'm just joking around about it. It's a video game, so whatever. Does that mean that he's crummy in this then? Is that what this means? That he's not going to be that good a quarterback if you have him if you play with him? Is that what that means?
He's not terrible. That's a guy in franchise mode I think I could make it work with. But
you could just make it work if you're in franchise mode. You could just make it work. I just mean, like, if I play in the game for the first time and I want to pick Daniel Jones as my quarterback, is he going to stink because these guys deem that he's not that good?
I've lit it up with low 70s overall because they do a lot of weird things to lower alls or to raise overalls depending on where they think you should be. So, I mean, I'm sure it's stuff like his awareness isn't that high, maybe, or some crap like that.
God, his awareness. But his awareness isn't as good as Tua's? His awareness isn't as good as Sam Darnold?
And that's the...
Sam Darnold! How do you put Sam Darnold... Okay, now I'm upset. How do you put Sam Darnold ahead of Daniel Jones?
Darnold,
whatever. How do you do that? Come on. Give me a break.
It's definitely tricky. I think a lot of times these stats, they go for rookies based on expectation, and then they go for guys other than rookies based on what their last year looked like, and they either raise or lower your stats based on how you performed. So it's not this. I don't think they ever intended for this to be like a ranking, but that's how a lot of people treat it, and that's why a lot of players are upset. They look at their rankings and where they are and their rating stuff. A lot of wide receivers going, hey, my speed's higher than an 86, or my route running's better than a 90.
Adam from Williston on the Town Fair Tire text line writes, whatever you're smoking, give me double. He turns the ball over way too much. He will never be a top 10 NFL quarterback. This is not going to age well for you, Adam. I hate to tell you, buddy.
Well, the fumbling thing annoys me because...
Yeah, you mean the argument about the fumbling thing,
yes.
Right? Yeah, he's a rookie. He was a rookie.
It's very fixable.
And Lamar Jackson, what led the league in fumbles a year before last. And I'm just saying, if you watch Daniel Jones play, and I'm not, and again, I'm not trying to come off too much of as a homer, because I'm really not. Because you know that I will tell you if the Giants do anything that I don't like.
You used to crush Eli Manning
all the time. But when you watch Daniel Jones, last year on that football team, offensive line, disgustingly poor. Saquon Barkley, when he played, was never 100%. Evan Ingram didn't play most of the season. Sterling Shepard, his number one receiver, didn't play most of the season. Golden Tate missed 6 games. The only guy that was a consistent player for him, and I don't know if it was the fact that his rookie Slayton, you know, was just Daniel Jones made him elite, or he's just an elite wide receiver. And the Giants had a steal in the draft, was the only consistent wide receiver he had, and Daniel Jones's numbers were spectacular with everything going against him. And the other thing is, the Giant defense was so bad that Daniel Jones was forced into many situations where he had to score a lot of points. He had numerous games with 4 touchdowns and games and lost them. This kid can make every throw. He knows the reads. He can move in the pocket. And if you don't think he has the potential to be a top 10 quarterback, then I just don't think you've watched him enough. But I do appreciate the text. He just wrote another one too. Let's see what Adam wrote this time. Hope it's Homer Simpson. I don't know what that means, but I'm Homer. Oh, now I get it. I'm Homer Simpson. Fair enough. Well played, Adam. I appreciate that. Dennis from Georgia also wrote here on the Town Fair Tire Deck line. I'm okay with Kirk Cousins above Daniel Jones, but he's not going to win a big game.
He gets it every time.
Well, because he's a Washington fan, so he never liked Kirk Cousins, but
yeah.
You know, but the Kirk Cousins is an example of a guy that, to me, is an average quarterback, but on a really good football team. And that's why I felt as if he could manage a game to get them to that level. But when you look at Daniel Jones, I think he crosses off all the boxes you're looking for an elite quarterback. I mean, just seriously, just watch what he does. Yes, does he turn the ball over too much? Yes. Did he make a couple of bad throws? Yes. Does he fumble a lot? Yes. We get that. Well, but all that is fixable.
His biggest drawbacks are things that you sort of expect from young players and things that can be taught. So,
no, I agree. But the intangible stuff, guys, the throws under pressure, the ability to get out of the pocket, the ability to bring your team back and have the ability to have that kind of game to be able to do that. You put I say it every weekend. When you and I hosted the huddle a few weeks ago, I said it. If you put Daniel Jones on the Eagles last year, if you put Daniel Jones on the Cowboys last year, I mean this, and people got on me because they think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback. Daniel Jones those teams would have won 12, 13 games. I'm convinced at that. You protect Daniel Jones. You have the ability to do that stuff. He's going to be an elite quarterback. But before we go to break, let's get to the running back situation, too.
Okay.
As my Homer Simpson comes out. So let's hear this.
So we've got the top six, because I figured you'd want to know who was above Saquon Barkley. Yeah. There's five running backs above Saquon Barkley. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick Chubb, and Dalvin Cook.
Hard to argue those. I feel like all six of those guys, you can just kind of throw in a hat and pull out, and you think you're going to be in good shape. I think Derrick Henry late in the season last year proved to be a dynamic running back. I'm stunned that he's ranked second highest, to be honest with you. I think I like Saquon a little more than him. Zeke Elliott, you know, how do you not? Nick Chubb, you know, I like all those running backs, so I can't get too upset, but I think Saquon is above Chubb, and I think he's above Henry. So I would go McCaffrey, Zeke, Barkley, you know, Cook, and then Chubb. I think that's how I would. Or I'm sorry, I missed Henry. Maybe, yeah. So I think here's how I'd go. McCaffrey, Zeke, Saquon, and then probably Dalvin Cook, Henry, and then Chubb. That's what I would do.
You know what's interesting about this group is they have Christian McCaffrey far and away the best running back. He's a 99 overall, which is the highest possible rating.
And he's dynamic, though. He is a dynamic running back.
But then the next closest is a 93. Derrick Henry is closer to the number six Saquon Barkley than Christian McCaffrey is to number two.
So wait a minute. Then how is this lit? Okay, there it is. Yeah, because okay. Yeah, that's. I think Christian McCaffrey, but I see that. I think Christian McCaffrey is that far away from most. I mean, I think Saquon Barkley is closer to Christian McCaffrey when healthy than anybody else's. Then I would say that a healthy Saquon Barkley on a team that can block and a team that can actually can stretch you a little bit would be right up there with him. But I think based on last year, Saquon not being healthy when he came back, I still don't think he was healthy all season. I guess I can see that. But the quarterback one, come on.
How do you feel about Stephon Gilmore as a 99 overall, the highest possible rating for a player?
I don't. Yeah, he's the cornerback for the Patriots, right? I mean, it's interesting to see how they do this stuff. I'll go even further than that. How about Aaron Donald, a 99?
I don't think that's even the first time he's been a 99.
I mean, a 99. I'm assuming if that you're 99, you're really good. I mean,
he is,
but not 99.
He might be the best defensive player in the NFL.
But 99? I think that the only 99 you're going to see defensively is, like, you know, Lawrence Taylor was a 99. Reggie White was a 99. Dexter Manley was a 99. You know, Mike Singletary was a 99. I mean, guys Donald's a great player, don't get me wrong. But come on.
And it is tricky because 99s are
just throwing 99s everywhere.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're not all created equal. You can be a 99. Like, for example, there's 99 cards in 2K that can't touch 99 overall Jordan. They're still ranked the same as him overall, but his stats individually are way better. So it's tricky in that way. But I think Stephon Gilmore is probably the best corner in the NFL, but I don't know as the best corner in the NFL usually deserves a 99 overall.
Can I ask you a question? So basically, if you're a 99 when you play this game, does that mean that you're just far? You got this guy on team. You're going to beat you're going to do a lot of damage with these guys.
It's tougher than that in Madden because, you know, there's 22 starting players, but it can make a big difference. You can see stuff like if I saw that someone had a 99 overall Stephon Gilmore on their team, I'm not throwing at his receiver the entire game.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference. And if I see a 99 overall Aaron Donald, I'm running short pass plays and running away from him because I'm not about to let that guy sack my quarterback six times in a game, you know?
Yeah. So Todd on the Town for Tire text line just says, I was with you until you said Daniel Jones is better than Wentz. No way. And he said he's driving, so he can't call in and give me any more. I can give you that argument, but to me, Carson Wentz just isn't the same quarterback since the knee injury. And I understand, and he just said again, when healthy, Wentz is a top five quarterback. I completely agree with that, but he's not healthy. And I don't believe that Wentz will be the same Wentz he was before that knee injury. I think it's going to be impossible for him. But I will tell you that Daniel Jones, a guy that can be mobile with that kind of game, is Carson Wentz like? And if you're healthy, if you're more healthy than Carson Wentz, I think you're a little better. And that's just my opinion. It's just my opinion.
Well, and that offensive line's not going to be the same, and that O-line makes a big difference.
Oh, totally agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You put Daniel Jones with his skill sets behind a really good offensive line, he is going to be elite.
Well, that's been the model in the two successful teams in that division.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is Homer Simpson signing off. I'm going to remember this, Adam from Williston. I'm going to remember this text time when he's a top 10 quarterback. Man, I'm going to remember this.
I'm going to start calling you Homer Simpson.
I got to give him some props. That was so good I didn't get it in the beginning. Of course, that's just me. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's Hot or Not time. Thanks for the text, guys. We love it. We'll be right back.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
talk about bringing the heat. Adam just said again on the Town Fair Tire text line, you're just sad Jones didn't get a 99, and you said sad face emoji. He's bringing the heat with me. I'm not mad he shouldn't get a 99, but he shouldn't be ranked 30th. I mean, come on. You got to give me that at least. Give me top 15. I'll even give you top 20. But 30th? Come on, Adam. But I'm going to remember it, Adam. I'm going to remember. I love your texts. Keep them coming. But I'm going to remember. And when he's a top 10 quarterback, I'm going to bring this up again. All right, kiddo, what do we got today?
This is Hot or Not. It's brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Superb Cupcakes is open for curbside pickup. Available flavors are posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. You can call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup.
Delicious, freshly baked, great people. I mean, it they are the package over there. I mean, no pun intended. At Superb Cupcakes. They're just an unbelievable place. And they always come up with the funkiest, craziest cupcakes. I mean, last week they had one that was called the Cookie Monster. I mean, who doesn't want a Cookie Monster cupcake? You know what I mean? And that's just one of them. There's just tons of different flavors. They are creative. It's insanely clean and organized. Highly recommend them. If you are hungry or want a treat today, and it's going to be warm, so swing down to Superb Cupcakes, grab yourself a cupcake, go back to the AC, put your feet up, and enjoy yourself. You'll thank me later.
Clay Travis shared his opinion on how people are valuing the Patriots right now.
I do think they're overvalued. And I think they're overvalued because there's still not a lot of offensive weapons surrounding Cam. You're talking about an aging Julian Edelman. You're talking about a first-round wide receiver who did not pan out at all. Tight ends, not very good depth. We don't know what's going on with Sony Michel. And so as a result, I think there's real value in the AFC East on the underdogs, in particular the Miami Dolphins.
Go ahead. You want to take this one first?
Oh, I was just going to
go ahead.
Give
go
the
ahead.
Take. Where we are overvaluing the Patriots.
Yeah, not. I agree that you can be up on the got teams like the Miami Dolphins, and you can be up on the Jets, and you can be up on the Buffalo Bills, but not. All the reasons that he just mentioned, he is right. Brady did the same thing when he was not doing our show a month ago. But I don't care about the stats or what the expectations are. I just care that Bill Belichick is running the show. And until I see the Patriots stink, they're always going to, in my mind, they're going to be the team to beat. And I think in the AFC East, they're still the team that you're going to have to get through if you're going to want to win.
Nick Wright says that Cam Newton and Bill Belichick will mesh perfectly.
I think Cam and Belichick are going to mesh beautifully. Bill Belichick wants to win. He does not care what you do when you're not in the building. He does not care what you wear to the building or what you wear home from the building. He wants to win. And last year, the quarterback position was a hindrance on them winning. And throughout Belichick's entire coaching career with the Patriots, he's really had one game where he was able to go into it game planning and say, hey, what can we do with our quarterback's legs?
Hot. I'm all in. I think he's totally right. There's no reason to believe that. And I just don't know if there's even a storyline to say that Cam Newton can't, you know, he's some problem for an organization. I don't see that. I don't see what he is and what he does as a problem for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. So, yeah, I think they're going to mesh perfectly. And if Cam Newton can perform, he'll be the quarterback. If he can't, Belichick will say, you're not the quarterback.
Yes. I mean, like you said, within the league, his reputation is not that of a troublemaker. So that already makes this a pretty easy take. And then also, even if he was... He's very clearly shown that he really, really wants to show people what he can do, and he wants to win. And Bill Belichick's the same way.
Yeah.
So even if there was an ego issue there, I think the two of them would be able to set it aside, like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have supposedly done in the past, because winning's that important to them.
Yeah, man, chip on his shoulder, and he's playing for something. Like, you know, he has potential. And by the way, before you move on the Town Fair Tire text line, your mother just texted and said, hey, remind Aaron to mow the lawn today. So I'm just reminding you, I got you. I got you, Mrs. Wells.
I actually did forget.
Well, I'm not going to let you forget.
I will mow the lawn, Mom.
Good job.
All right. Skip Bayless says that they need to let Cam be Cam.
He needs to be Cam. The Patriot way has to be more of the Cam way if he's going to be Cam Newton of 2015, which a lot of people expect.
Oh, my God. Not. Stop it. The Patriots have to be the Cam way. Cam's got to be Cam. Hey, you come to the Patriots. It's the Patriot way. And you adapt. The Patriots aren't going to take this guy and put him in a position that he can't be successful in. You think the Patriots are going to be like, no, like you like to run and you're good at it, but we're not going to do it because we're going to do it our way. The Patriot way is winning, folks. So what does that even mean? I mean, come on, Skip, you're better than that. The Patriot way is success. You take what you have, you get the most out of it. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So to say that the New England Patriots have to change all their mindset and the way they do things. They had Rob Gronkowski as one of their faces of their organization for years. Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
The guy that's spiking Legos on New Year's Eve shows. The guy. I mean, they're throwing those huge parties. The guy after the Super Bowl was out drinking and partying after the Giants beat him in the Super Bowl. He was one of the faces of the organization.
Yeah. I mean, if he can ride on the victory bus and catch fireball out of the air and chug it.
I mean, exactly. So the point is, that's the point. Yeah. So it's like, what does that even mean? The Patriots aren't going to look at if Cam Newton can move in the pocket, Aaron, and he can compete the way we expect him to compete. You think the Patriots will be like, no. You're staying in the pocket. It's Patriot way.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to win. No. They're going to say, hey, I mean, the Patriots did a lot of things with Shane Vereen. They take it. I'm just using him as an example. They use skill sets and they win with it. So if Cam's capable of moving in the pocket, they can do some things with them moving with the football. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone thought James White coming out of college is going to be one of the best receiving backs in the NFL.
Right.
But they made him that.
Exactly. They developed these guys into players. I just think it's crazy.
Yeah, and on the field, they will adapt how they need to, and he'll adapt how he needs to. Because that's what they always do with everybody. And off the field, as long as you don't make Bill Belichick's life harder or anyone else in the organization's life harder, they give leash. They gave a leash with Rob Gronkowski. I would be shocked if they were unwilling to do that with Cam.
Yeah, and again, I think Rob Gronkowski went to work and worked his butt off and became one of the best fans. So what leash is it?
Off the field.
Like, hey, man, you know, hey, what did he do off the field that was embarrassing to the organization? I mean, well, he's a young guy that was partying.
Well, yeah.
But when he got to work, he did his job. That's what Bill Belichick wants you to do.
Yeah.
But to paint a picture that's a Patriot way and that you know they have to adapt to this play, like, no, the Patriots are going to adapt to whatever they have to do to win. That's what they do.
Yep. The question is just if it works, which, right, fingers crossed.
We'll see.
I'm gonna chuck out some other takes and drop this one in here because I thought you'd enjoy this. According to the Madden overall rankings for wide receivers.
More Madden information. This would be fun.
I wanted to get this one in last segment, but we couldn't. Odell Beckham's a top 10 wide receiver.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see the list of who. I don't have the list in front of me.
I got it.
Like, who's ahead of him? Who's behind him?
Michael, who's behind him?
Yeah.
Adam Thielen, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, AJ Green.
No, Thielen's a better wide receiver than Beckham is now.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris
Godwin, who tore up the league last year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Tyler Lockett, Emmanuel Sanders, Julian Edelman, T.Y. Hilton, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so here's the thing about Odell Beckham Jr. Like, look, Odell Beckham Jr., and again, great talent. Unbelievable, dynamic, okay? But the guy, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, because as a Giant fan, you love watching him play. The guy's just not a winner. You're just not going to win with Odell Beckham Jr., I'm sorry. It's just not who he is. But he's not, I mean, I think Juju was behind him.
Yep.
I think he's ahead of Odell Beckham Jr., and I think Adam Thielen's ahead of Odell Beckham Jr. in terms of just what, I think where they are today. That's just my opinion, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Beckham is just, I feel bad for Beckham because I think part of it is he's an emotional guy, but his actions in the media just kind of beat him up and, you know, he's responded to that. I feel kind of bad for him, but he just proved over the years that he just wasn't a big time player. In games where he had to perform, he never did. I can think of three games in particular. The ball's in his hand, he's dropping it. You know, he got in the huge fight, you know, against Carolina one year, a game the Giants had to have for the playoffs. He gets in a fight and ends up getting kicked out in the middle of the game. Or he got something happened in the game. I mean, I think he got kicked out of the game.
Had a ball in his hands in the end zone against the Patriots, held it away from his body, and it got stripped.
And it got stripped away. I mean, or they score a touchdown and he does something that gives a penalty so the defense is backed up. So he just, he's if he could mature himself to the point and say, look, we're here. I'm not about me. I'm about we. Then I think he could be there. But he's got a long way to go. But you know what? I said the same thing about Randy Moss. In his early years. And then when he became a Patriot, he matured and became exactly what you're looking for. And if it wasn't for the Giants getting it done when they were undefeated, he would have been a champion as well. So it can change. But right now, when you look at what he is, he's just not a winner. That's all. And that's not a terrible thing. He's a great player, a lot of fun to watch, but I don't think you can win a championship with him.
I definitely agree that Thielen's definitely ahead. I also, Chris Godwin had such a good year last year. It's pretty shocking that he's that low.
And he's going like to have the fifth-ranked quarterback throwing to him this year, right, in Tampa Bay. So how do you keep him down there?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
So, I mean, who's doing this stuff, man? Who's making these decisions?
I sometimes wonder how much like EA actually understands sports. But
I don't know what's going on there. I mean, the game's unbelievable, though. I was told that you can actually make yourself as a player and go up there. Like, you play college, and you have to get drafted. And I like that aspect. And video games are crazy now. I mean, I played video games that were like Mario Brothers, baseball stars.
Oh, they're doing crazy stuff.
It's unbelievable now. Maybe I need to become a video game guy. It sounds like a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot more fun than going camping. I can tell you that.
Oh, man. You keep saying you're going to stop talking about that so you don't look bad, and then you keep going back to it.
When you're anxious about it, you know what I mean? I mean, I told you, I got to go pack my bag still. Still got to pack my bag. It's going to be a quick one, though.
All right. We got one more minute, so we've got one more take.
Cool.
Let's see here. Rajon Rondo and other NBA players are right to complain about the conditions in the NBA bubble.
Not. I'm sorry. I mean, look, I understand it's something you're not used to. You know, the zillion dollar lifestyle these guys do. You look, I know it's not, here's the thing. They are kind of like trapped in there. I mean, you know, you're kind of living in this alternate universe in there. You can't leave, you can't get food brought into you. Everything is, it's a different kind of world. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, you got to look at this as I'm doing something for the country. Like, we're going to play and we're going to kind of get some reality back for people. I think that's what you got to look at it. But, let me tell you something. The picture of Rajon Rondo's place is pretty okay.
Well, that's the thing is, if they were complaining about, okay, we're trapped in here, I don't like the way this feels, I would understand that. If they're complaining about, I don't feel good about the actual health safety situation,
right,
I could understand that. But they're complaining about how nice the rooms are when the rooms are nicer than any hotel room I've ever been in.
They got it all right. I think the mindset's got to be, and again, I think Rajon Rondo was playing a little bit. And this is the problem with social media. You put one thing out that somebody deems as disrespectful or hurtful, and it's over for you, But I think what Rajon Rondo is probably trying to have some fun with that. But listen, if the NBA plays, it takes it. If you're an NBA fan, it allows you to get back to a little bit of reality and takes you away. And I've said this for a long time. Sports is important because it's what guys like I do and you do, Aaron, to get away from normal life. You want to just decompress. You want to get away. You want to just focus on something that you have no control over. That's sports. And you can be a kid again. You can root for your team. You can put your face paint on. You can wear your sweatshirts and your hats. Something that you can't normally do in a regular if you're going to work every day. I mean, you can here, which is great about this station. But if you're going to a business every day, you can't be putting your Celtics sweatshirt on and your Celtics socks over your jeans and all that. You can't be doing that crazy stuff. But when you watch your game, you can. You can be a child again. And that's what we need. And I'm looking forward to baseball starting. I'm looking forward to all this stuff starting again. So, Rajon, it's only temporary. Take a deep breath. And just play some basketball. We can't wait to watch you play.
That food didn't look that bad either.
My guess is the food's all right. I can't imagine the food's bad for these guys. I just can't imagine that. All right, that's Hot or Not. We'll take a quick break and we'll tie a bow on this show. Hey, the Green City Garage poll question is shocking me. I can't wait to talk about the results of that either. We'll be right back.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Ken from White River just texted us on the Town Fair Tire text line. He said, we've been talking a lot today about this EA Sports Madden list of, rankings here. And Ken said they gave Mike Carson Wentz an 84. I think he's upset at that.
Yeah,
I would say that's a little low for Carson Wentz, but I would say that's not bad. I mean, come on, Ken. What about my guy Daniel Jones? 72? Are you out of your mind? Ranked 30th? I mean, come on.
I would say
it's ridiculous.
Carson Wentz should be a couple points higher.
A couple points.
But yeah. They do, I believe, rank, or they do, part one of the ratings that's factored in, I believe, is injury. So he's had injury passed, then that probably hurts
him. All right,
him.
That's fair. Okay, that's intriguing. I didn't know that. All right, the Green City Garage poll question. The Green City Garage poll question was, and this is interesting, I thought, and we got this from, full disclosure, I saw Mike Greenberg have this question out earlier this week. I thought it was a good one. Which quarterback do you think has the most to prove this year, given the unique and unusual circumstances they find themselves in? Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. My man, Aaron, what were the results, buddy?
So Tom Brady and Dak Prescott tied for 40% each. to take the lead, and then Cam Newton came in with 20%, and Aaron Rodgers put up a big old donut.
How can Tom Brady have anything to prove? I mean, seriously.
How does he have more to prove than Aaron Rodgers?
I think the way it's questioned is, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is anything. I think Aaron Rodgers is to be Aaron Rodgers. It's the organization that's got to figure out what they want to do. I mean, right. I think Aaron Rodgers is still the elite quarterback. But Cam Newton, you know, look, I mean, yeah, he's got something to prove, but he's got all the momentum because there's no expectation really, right? For the exception of fans' expectation, if he stinks and isn't any good, you know, they're not going to look at signing Cam Newton as a mistake, right? Because they didn't spend any money on it.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott is the guy that's got so much to prove. He's the guy that's got him. He's trying to make the big bucks. He wants to be the elite quarterback. That's the pressure. Tom Brady's going to have a fun time in Tampa, baby. He's going to enjoy the weather. He's going to come out. He's got a great offensive line around him. He's got a good running back. He's got great wide receivers. He's going to have fun. But he's got, even if Tom Brady does stink, let's say he does stink, Aaron, what are we going to say? Oh, he's just, you know, he's older.
It's the age. Yeah, exactly.
It's the age. It's not going to be that, you know, it'll be like, yeah, he's just older. He just wanted to keep playing. I think that's intriguing to me that he ties with Dak Prescott.
Might be salty Patriots fan saying he better prove that he is still good.
Well, I mean, it's not his fault. The Patriots let him. I think he would have re-signed with New England if they would have done what, you know, if they gave him a contract. The Patriots moved on. They just made a decision. And that's understandable. But I got to tell you, I mean, as a non-Patriot fan, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough to see that. It's got to be tough to wreck the seed Tom Brady in the uniform. So I can see where the saltiness would happen.
Ken in White River, how is Dak rated better, though?
I'm with you on that.
I agree.
100%, Ken. I stand with you 100% with that. This is how it goes for me. Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. Right in a row. So I'm with you on that. I absolutely think Dak should be below Carson Wentz. There's no
question
about it.
Every time you say that, Eagles fans come flying in.
They get so mad at me. And I take nothing away from Carson Wentz. I mean it. I mean nothing by it. He's a great quarterback, but he has just not been the same quarterback since the injury. And you have to be blunt about that. He just hasn't been. You know, he did a great job last year with the weapons that the Eagles did not have. He got them. Did the Eagles go to the playoffs? I think they did go to the playoffs. I believe they did. I mean, he kept them relevant. If they, I don't remember, he kept them relevant. But if you think Carson Wentz is the same quarterback he was before he got hurt, he's just not. So that's where I'm at. But I'm telling you, this year Daniel Jones is going to make a believer out of a lot of people.
I hope
it's
so.
It's going to be a good year. Well, I hope so too, because it's been a long time. It's been a dry spot for our Giants. It's about time the Giants had something good happen. Nothing ever good happened. Usually by around like Halloween, the season's over, mad.
You've had two different good things happen in my lifetime. Both of them ruined my day.
Yeah, I know, but you were like 6 and 8 when that happened. That's how long ago that was. You were just a little boy. Hey, guys, we are Sports Saturday. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hey, Aaron, I got to tell you, great job again. I'm really impressed with you, kiddo. I'm going to say it publicly. Like, you have been, your development in this business has been spectacular. And, you know, we've been thrust in this position. So great job. I know we have to go. Make sure you mow your lawn for your mom. We'll see you next week.